to as much as we could here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Good deal.
All right.
Sure.
No, just to should be just today. They got voting, pre-voting set up in a small assembly room. I feel like I'm getting judged all of a sudden. Yeah, I mean, that's what we were told, so we're going to wait a couple more minutes here and see if she can get here.
Otherwise, I'm just being banished.
Doing good?
Yep.
Good. All right, we're going to go ahead and get going today. Welcome to the City of Knoxville Board of Zoning Appeals. I'm Daniel Odle, Chair of the BZA, and I'll be conducting today's meeting. Alongside of me are other members of the BZA. At the tables, not across the room today, but over here to the left, are city staff members. Today's meeting will be conducted in the order of the agenda. Agendas are available at the, I guess they were available at the outside table, right outside the room out there, at the entrance. Pursuant to BZA's administrative rules, each matter on the agenda will be considered in the following order. Staff comments, proponents, opponents, rebuttals, discussion among board members, motion and then a second to that motion, further discussion among board members, and finally a vote. Members of the public may address the board and the following rules apply. Each person may speak once for 5 minutes and shall not have more than one time to speak, except that the chair may allow an additional 2 minutes to the applicant for rebuttal. When more than one person wants to speak to an issue, each side is limited to 3 speakers with 5 minutes each. The board may ask questions of any speaker and may allow more time or more speakers by a vote. Speakers should limit their remarks to the facts of the case and should avoid repeating comments that have been previously presented to the board. All speakers should come to the podium here and speak directly into the microphone. Speakers need to state their name and address for the record, please. and appeals of decisions made by BZA, made by our board, are made to the Knoxville City Council. A petition for such an appeal shall be filed with Plans Review and Building Inspections Department not more than 15 days following BZA's decision. I will now ask Ms. Colby to call the roll, please.
Daniel
Hurdle. I'm here.
Matt Unser.
Here.
All right, fantastic. To get us going today, let's see here. I need to ask for an approval, a recommendation on approval of last month's meeting minutes.
I'll make a motion to be approved.
We got a motion.
Second.
Motion and a second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Minutes from last month are approved. And we'll move on straight into new business this month because we don't have any old business. File 4A22VA, which is West Vine Avenue. If you're here to speak to this, please come to the microphone.
Hi.
Sir, name and address, please, for the record. And
727 Chihuahua Circle.
Yes, sir. Tell us about your variance request, please, and the nature of your hardship.
Okay, so there are three variances. So the first one is why the Capitol Loss building is greater than 5 feet from the sidewalk. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, yes.
Thank you. From the sidewalk property line, so in no particular order of importance, the reasons are, one, there's too much slope at the entrance off of Line Avenue, and it becomes steeper off of Line as you move further to the west. We had to move the building back so we could keep the handicap access ramp at the 12 degrees or less manageability. The handicap ramp would be long and unmanageable if the building was located within 5 feet. The second answer is we also had to add a KEB transfer vault on the east end, which ate up access on the Line Avenue property. Limited us to the west end. The transformer vault had to be located on the east end.
There we go.
We have power lines on Vine Avenue, which we had to move away from. We have a KCDC easement walkaway on the west end of the property, which limited our ability to rotate the building. We have, if we did a more elaborate retaining wall and tried to keep this within 5 feet, it would have added 4 to 6 months to the construction of the project, and we're limited by strict KCDC hurdles and timelines to have the building completed. The project was designed to protect the facade of the church, and this would not allow for the building to be situated on the west side of the site. This forced us to tuck the project into the northeast corner, which is the most difficult and steepest part of the site. Secondly, on the variance, the transparency of capital loss is less than 30% in some areas. The transparency is less than 30% on P2 because the steep slope and the fact that much of this parking level is below the sidewalk on Vine. But the transparency percentage on P1, the upper parking level, is 39.6%. The two floors average transparency percentage is greater than 30%. It's 31.3. Secondly, on the variance number two, the KV transformer vault takes up a chunk of the transparency capability. There's very few projects downtown that have been subjected to this extraordinary requirement. Lastly, the maximum distance for entries to the project is greater than 50 feet, and that's because the garage level takes up the majority of the practical building accessibility on most of the east side of the building. So we had to have multiple entries that were limited to the upper part of the hill. On the west end, there's three entrances. There's one to the pool, the lobby, and the east stairwell. And then I wanted to say in closing, we have the civil engineers who can give you the technical answers. We have the geotechnical engineer, we have the contractor, and of course, we have my partner, Daniel.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Before we take the next step, I failed to ask if there were any further comments from the city on this. Hearing none. All right. All right. Very good. Mr. Birch, did you want anybody else to speak to this, or you're just the only speaker? We don't have to have anybody else, but I'm sure there'll be questions. So.
Yeah, we've got some guys that can answer the questions.
Okay. Perfect.
Thanks.
And is there anyone here to speak in opposition to this? Seeing nobody. All right. Let's see if there's open for board questions on this. This is a challenging site. It's a very steep slope. One question I have, is there any code issue, like fire marshal issue, related to the distance from, you know, going from 50 feet to 148 feet? Any other issue that's being created by that?
Daniel Smith, 315 Train Drive, Knoxville, Tennessee, 37919. All of our egresses are still being met in terms of two egress points of the building, and that, you know, the travel distances and all that is not affected by the slope or anything like that. So we shouldn't have any issues that we're aware of related to that and in the way that these 50-foot entrances are. It's a sprinkled building, and it's not necessary to have it from an egress standpoint.
Sure. What other questions have we got? It's a quiet house today.
Can you remind me what the reason was you can't meet the 50 feet for the entrances?
The reason why we can't meet that is because we're on a slope, and so we have a bottom floor garage that's going down, and actually elevation from that point on the far east. And then we have a certain distance height, and so you're going up the hill, and so you'd have to have a door. If you take it 50 feet on linear, there's nowhere to put a door because you're going uphill and you're in the middle of a, you know, you're 8 feet up on a structure, so there's no way to get into that second floor until you get farther enough down the way. So for us, it just it was impractical to meet that. Additionally, from the design standpoint, it appears that the code, or that the zoning code, kind of sees those requirements as being street level engagement on a building that has, that's a city street. In this case, we're on the side of a hill. It's a parking garage. There's no real purpose functionally to structure it that way. And so given the practicality of having a door just for aesthetics, you know, reasons, when it's not really that purpose on this type of slope. So for those reasons, we're seeking a variance. And mainly what's driving it is the steep slope.
And Danielle, just while you're here, I think probably similar reason, if I had to guess, regarding why you're not doing retail on the first floor. Just talk about that real quick so that, you know, we understand that.
That's correct. because of the slope, we don't see this property as being highest and best use being for retail use on that first floor. The primary egress point into the building is the very bottom, and the reason why it's done that way is because we're using the Vine Avenue as kind of a ramp for us. Because the lowest point that you're hitting the garage on the far east is actually higher elevation than the far western point at the very bottom of the garage, so you're actually going downhill. So it doesn't really make functional sense for us to, if we put a retail premise kind of at that corner, then we wouldn't have access to the garage space to get down. And we're not using any ramping or anything like that within the structure. We're using the street as the ramp.
And that's kind of driving the transparency on the first floor, right?
Yeah,
the reduction
the
there.
And it's really the thinness of the site and the slope on the back made it really impractical to try to have it wide enough structure where you can ramp inside and underneath that transfer slab. Financially, I know that's not really a criteria, but you know, to do it another way, it would make the project really not work. So we'd have to propose a different kind of project altogether, which we don't think is the highest and best use for it.
Any other questions?
No, I think the zone is set up for more traditional downtown area. This is not a very traditional downtown lot, so there's clearly major topography challenges. So based on that hardship alone, I'll make a motion to approve the three variances listed in 4-A-22-VA.
Second.
Motion to approve and a second. Any further comment or question? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Hearing none, motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you all very much.
Next up, 4B22VA, 6603 Stone Mill Drive. You could, someone here to come on up. Name and address for the record, please, sir.
My name is Brian Floyd.
And let me ask real quick before we move forward, any further comment from the city? No additional comments. All right. You said Brian Floyd. You're Brian Floyd. Okay, great. And
I'm a contractor on the project.
Okay, gotcha. Tell us about the project, please, about the application for the variance request and the nature of the hardship, why you're asking.
Actually, I took over this project from
okay.
a contractor who passed away, I guess.
Okay.
And apparently this addition, this project's been worked on 3 or 4 times in the past. And the addition, permitting-wise, the addition is obviously inside the property line there, which has been existing for 20 years, and whoever built it in the first place never got a variance.
Gotcha.
And now this new homeowner's bought the place, and apparently I need a variance.
Apparently you
do. So you're doing work to renovate the
yes.
existing...
The existing structure.
Okay. Are you expanding it at all beyond its
no.
existing?
No. No, just what's already been there.
Okay.
So apparently there's been 2 or 3 other contractors that's worked on it in the past that never got the variance.
Great.
What's the nature of the work that's ongoing?
Right now, just interior. We're just remodeling the inside and updating it so the new homeowners can move in.
All right. No one else here to speak to. Is there anyone here to speak in opposition? Just asking. I don't think anyone is. I think this is pretty straightforward. Pre-existing non-conforming, and it's on an oddly shaped lot. Where is this again? Where's Stone Mill again?
Right off of Sherwood Drive.
Okay, okay, gotcha, Westmoreland. Okay, there it is, I see.
Dan, are you ready for a motion?
Yep.
Okay, I'll make a motion to approve 4B22VA with the variance as requested to decrease the minimum rear setback from 25 to 9.54 feet.
We have a motion.
Second the motion.
The motion and a second. Any further comment or question? All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? No one's opposed. Motion carries. Thank you very
much.
Thank
you very
much, sir. Yep. Onward. 4F22VA, 4345 Apex Drive. If you're here to speak to that, let's go on up.
Randall Barnes, 802 Level Road.
Thank you, Mr. Barnes. Let me ask real quick, is there anyone here, or I'm sorry, is there any further comment from the city on this one? No? Thank you very much. Get you pulled up here real quick, Mr. Barnes.
Sure.
Go ahead and tell us about your request here and the nature of your hardship, please.
Sure. Building two, or are we doing both or just the first one?
We'll take them one at a time, please. Okay. Well, are they both? Let's ask about the question. Are they both the same thing,
yes,
or they are, aren't they?
Side by side.
Go ahead and tell us about both of them. We'll vote on them individually, though.
Okay. Two-bedroom, two-bath home. Have built three others a couple lots over on Hollywood. They were originally Hollywood Drive, or Hollywood Road addresses. Hollywood has a 25-foot setback. It's the 800 Hollywood has, and you can see the existing building there. Covers two lots, or it's right in the middle, so we separated the two. That little access on the apex is granted. I guess it's not an official road or driveway through. Granted it due to the traffic on Hollywood. Just after the apartment building, that was one of the issues, was traffic. So I flipped the property around the first half down toward Hollywood. The slope is nearly 40 feet from the middle to Hollywood. Pretty steep there. So flipped it around to apex, which would be a level, so the topography is a lot easier for the build. Also moved, I'm asking for a variance on the setback. The setback for apex is 91 feet, which would put the home into the slope closer to Hollywood and would be in front of 800 Hollywood. So they would, 800 Hollywood, or the home off Apex would actually be closer to Hollywood Road than Apex, the driveway, or the address for Apex. That's really the only variance I have for both of them, is just the setback. I'm not asking for, you know, the 25-foot setback that I would have had I not switched it around from Hollywood. I'm asking for it to be more in line with the home and still have a functional backyard for a homeowner. The address, one is 60 foot is what I'm asking for. The other one is 63.9 feet setback instead of the 91 feet from the
place. Is the 91 setback, is that a function of the setback relative to the other buildings?
It's in relation to so the zoning is R1. The language in the code says where front yard average is permitted, the average front setback of lots on the same side of the block face are used to establish what's the required front setback.
So it's facing it off of the back face, sort of?
Look, no, it's facing it off of apex. As apex goes up to the right,
there are a few.
If you scroll down just a little bit. So you see 43,
okay.
33, 43, 29. There's an intersecting street up there where the block begins, and as it goes around apex, it terminates at the end of this intersecting street just south there. So it's the average of those.
Okay, so it's not being penalized basically for the backyard, so it's the neighboring properties.
Right.
But I think because apex turns, it's kind of a
concrete.
It's not exactly meeting the same intent of keeping with the block face.
There aren't any other homes on apex past that turn.
Well, if you go down the road, the setback's much closer to the road. If you go the block to the east.
Different zoning, is that correct? R1 on those? That's
the right. So the ones across the street on apex.
Yeah.
Of 60 and 63 feet is relative to the home
800. Yes,
800.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Gets it more in line with that home, so they're not looking at each other's front doors.
Yeah.
Real quick, just for a process standpoint, let me ask if there's no, is there anyone here to add, you know, there's no one here to speak in opposition, I'm assuming, and there's not. But I need to put that in the record that we've asked. And then your desire to do this is you're getting away from traffic is what I think you said. Is that what you're, and there's on these houses, there's nothing on the lots now, right? These are just.
No, sir, they're all one lot.
Okay.
Six lots on Hollywood.
Okay. Yeah.
And you can't really see from there, but the driveway for 800 is so that it snakes around twice just to get to the home. Starts out on Hollywood and swings way over to the left. The slope is pretty substantial.
Yeah.
Happy to move the homes closer to Apex. But then you'd have to look in the back of each other's house.
Any other questions or comments from the board?
I think there's clearly, again, slope, topography issues with siding. Christine mentioned this is kind of its own start of a new block. The fact that it's kind of on a curve. And looking at the other, I know they're different zoning, but the other lots are more in line with this. Based on the hardship to hire the site, I make a motion to approve. Can I make a motion for both items?
Let's take them one at a time, just from a process. A motion and a second for F22VA to approve as submitted. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye opposed. Hearing none, that motion carries. And now we can make another on 4G if you'd like.
Another motion to approve item 4-G-22VA, the same rationale.
We have a motion and a second. Motion, second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Hearing none, and I'm in favor as well. So 4G22VA, pass as submitted. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, 4H22VA, St. Paul. Hello, sir.
Hello, my name is Matt Lyle. My address is 142 North Market Street, Chattanooga, Tennessee.
All right, and is there any further comment from the city on this item? None. Thank you very much. Please tell us about your variance request and the nature of your hardship.
Sure. So what we have is a piece of property that's located right off Henley Street where it turns to Chapman Highway. This is a really intricate little piece of property. It's kind of the constraints of the railroad track coming in. And then the topographic challenges that we've got kind of make this really unique set of difficulties that, so it's currently zoned SW6 for the South Waterfront form-based code, which suggests sort of a large mixed-use building. And it's not really technically feasible with the constraints that we have. The developer that we're working with out of Chattanooga is, we have Mr. Gary Crow and Kelsey Gaines with us here today from the development team. They sort of specialize in missing middle and these kind of housing typologies that happen on kind of unique, difficult sites like this. And they've seen it as an opportunity for high-density residential, which we feel like is an appropriate use for the context. But because the residential, going strictly residential versus a mixed use, sort of drives us to request the two variances, which would be a reduction in the minimum height and then a deviance for the fenestration percentage on the first floor. We're wanting to kind of activate those streets on West Blunt. Is really difficult to activate because there's such a grade change right there. But St. Paul Street we see as a really good opportunity for some front porches and for these residential units to create a really nice, engaging, walkable area. The kind of site plan that we're going with is to try to create these kind of pockets of pedestrian-oriented zones that we really feel like will maximize the potential of where that piece of property is located. So yeah, we're trying to kind of create some pedestrian courtyards and like I said, again, activate the street with front porches along St. Paul, but that just is really difficult to have a nice living room with a 70% glazing. So we're trying to be more residential in the context of the building form. It's sort of just the building forms are driving these two variance requests.
Okay. Thank you. Just real quick, what's the nature of your hardship? What's driving the variance request, just for us real quick?
So again, the hardship being that the floor-to-floor construction of a residential building doesn't give us the height where the minimum height is set. We would be 12 to 14 feet floor-to-floor in order to get that minimum height there. And given the way that we're getting these units onto the site and sort of in order to have the number of units, the number of parking spaces and all those things, we can't push the units quite that deep in order to have a stair run to go for 12 to 14 foot floor to floor in order to meet the minimum overall height of the structure. So we're wanting to pull the height down, and then from a constructability standpoint, it's very difficult for a Type 5B, wood stick framed construction to have a 70% glazing. Creates this really difficult. There's no shear wall that can come down, so we end up having to go with like a steel frame, and then all of a sudden it no longer works for the residential purpose because it's sort of blown the pro forma.
Sure.
So it's a sort of a constructible feasibility, I would say, is from that perspective, as it goes to a residential construction type.
Let me ask if there's anyone here in opposition. There's not, so thank you. What other questions do we have for the applicant?
They're only three-story units, and we could certainly go higher with them. It just kind of becomes it becomes difficult to get the stairs to work out without making the units a lot deeper, and or we would just end up with some very, very large volumes that aren't it would just sort of be like making them more ceiling height in the units strictly for the sake of they're still 9 and 10 foot ceilings, which are appropriate for the residential, for residential unit. But they would end up at three floors. That would be 14 feet per floor in order to get us up there.
Looking at this and looking like the zone was probably created obviously for the minimum height to be taller, mixed use, retail ground floor, and then apartments or multi units, multi story above. Why not get rezoned or look at getting that looks like anytime we see multiple variances, we try to look at the intent of the zone.
Sure.
And why you need a variance. Relief from that, how this zone applies to your project uniquely, and what relief you need. It's hard to understand a variance for things like height and transparency. It's a challenge for us sometimes, but I'm just trying to understand.
Sure.
The question I was asking is what precipitates the variance versus zoning that would allow for a reduced building height or a different use ultimately, even though this is a form-based code, right?
Yeah, so I think the thought was that with it being a form-based code that this might be the easier approach, was to go with a couple of variances. I think when looking at the spirit of the master plan for that area, it's a wonderful document. This piece of property plays a pretty unique role in it. I think there was a plan to have this, you know, the greenway kind of extension that was going to come through on this side of the street that I think has sort of manifested actually on the other side of the street. So this, when the original document was created, I think the thought was that that big green corridor, this could be a building that would be that, you know, multi-story kind of urban edge condition that would activate a big public promenade. And then as the, you know, as the plan has sort of come to fruition and the other developments that have occurred in the district, then when that green space sort of flipped to the other side of Chapman Highway, I think that where the plan has sort of, where the development has gone, has occurred, you know, within the constructs of that plan, the going with the mixed use on this parcel probably isn't, I think from a, like a transect and sort of coming back down from the density, this, if that plan was done with the constraints that we have today, it may have been more of a high density residential instead of the mixed use building like it was zoned. But I think when we had our preliminary conversations, it seemed like the easier path was to just request the variances as opposed to go through an actual rezone. Again, the form-based code.
Your conversations with the city, staff,
mm-hmm.
team. I decided that the only thing that gave me concern looking at this is we don't want, as a board, to deviate or facilitate the deviation from a plan.
Sure.
So this plan is created zoning that dictated a certain form, obviously, but ultimately it dictates a use by dictating the form sometimes. And,
sure.
And instead of, you know, typically, ideally, instead of coming to us, since we're just looking at, strictly looking at the property, you'd go to, since you're kind of deviating from the plan, it would go through the Knox planning process, the planning commission, that type of public process. Again, there are two paths, and it
sure.
happens where it comes through us, too. I don't have a particular issue with the development. There are topography issues. It's a unique site. It's not right on Blount. Part of it's on Blount, but it's kind of off Chapman, I guess.
Yeah, and it's
side
way
streets.
It's
I
like,
can understand the transparency, particularly along that St. Paul Street, it not being as a major thoroughfare. And Blount, yeah, there is a topography there that makes it challenging to do retail. So the transparency, I don't have as much issue. The height requirement's a big one because I think it's kind of saying we want a bigger building at this site and we're kind of approving a smaller building and trying to wrap my head around what's the hardship that
sure.
makes you go dictating why go smaller. It can't be because the pro forma doesn't work or because of the financial feasibility. It's because, hey, this topography, this site is sited this way or that way.
I think the topography doesn't really allow enough site to
yeah.
get the build if it was going to be that large of a building.
Some depth for the stairs, we were saying.
But there's not enough of a piece of property there given all the things that would have to go into that large mixed use building without either having a substantial amount of subterranean parking or. The topography, it's such a small site, and then you couple that with the railroad and the right-of-way easements, and then I guess somebody was planning on like a semi-truck invasion that never happened with that like radius corner right there. That corner is, the radius on it is, I'm not sure what drove that. I mean, it's sized.
The radius right here?
Yeah,
that's the train track right there, right?
The other corner on West Blount and St. Paul Street.
That one right there?
Yeah, that corner.
Was that property taken at some point on the corner there, or is it, could you?
It
It was it taken? But was it in your record? Could you see when the city took it, or has it always been that way as far as it could?
At some point, the city took it from the previous owner.
Yeah.
You're talking about when the right of way was
expanded
to become the.
Okay.
Correct. So our plan on dealing with that was to put a big piece of public art and try to activate that as a pedestrian area, because there was no way to get building footprints to even kind of get up close to that corner. 28 townhome units is the kind of high density of the density of residential that we were.
My take on this property in the midst of the SW code, it's a form-based, really driven after retail and trying to preserve a retail frontage. From a market standpoint, you're not going to build retail there. So I think that from a uniqueness standpoint, I'm really comfortable with saying that parcel stands out amidst the zoning as something that's unique, aside from the fact that it does have weird topography stuff all over it. And is there any setback from the train track there at all as well?
Beyond what the property line currently is.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Okay.
We're able to get fairly close to it. But what the railroad company did, you know, sort of impose in their initial was.
And I don't want to put words in your mouth, I can't. But the from a development standpoint, getting any sort of, you know, as well as I do, that garage, you know, how do you build that and get your turning aisles right and your parking spaces and outlets and everything. If any other project would be here, we'd have more variances to look at versus what they're asking for.
Yeah.
So this is a minimum hit to that property in terms of variance with a use that fits with the spirit of the SW code. And, you know, I think that makes good sense to me. One question I have is, what are you doing with your runoff, your stormwater there? Any thoughts yet?
That's a great question. We've sort of been holding back on that next level of questions, of answering those questions based on the outcome of today's meeting. But one of the things that we have found are some substantial subsurface environmental conditions. So we're trying to figure out, in terms of the remediation of those elements, what our next best steps will be. But our ability to tackle stormwater will be the next sort of set of questions. Actually, we will have a meeting with Derek Gilday and Geoservices sort of in the next couple of weeks, along with our structural team, to try to figure out, and our civil team, you know, how we can start digging into this project and doing it well.
Sure.
I saw a note from TDOT too about traffic study, traffic impact to that intersection as well, which obviously you all have to do to go through the rest of the permitting process, but that's outside of our purview.
Does St. Paul go over to another light the other direction as well? You have the light at Henley.
That's the railroad.
The St. Paul keeps going across, doesn't it?
Yeah, maybe that other. I think there is that line around there.
I think there is.
It's not highly used though, because you got a crossover track. It's not a lot of track that you got around there.
Are there any other questions, comments, thoughts, accusations?
No, I agree with what's already been said. My question is going to be centered around number one, with the decrease in minimum building height requirement, but I think you answered that. So I don't have any questions.
All right, I'll make a motion to approve item 4-H-22-VA based on topography hardship.
I'll second the motion.
Motion and a second. Any further question or comment? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Motion carries. Motion is approved. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Okay, we gotta figure out how for Grant not to make every motion.
Well, I was waiting for you to make one. You made all the arguments for it.
I did, but I don't.
You can make the motion.
I can.
What's wrong?
You did. You made one.
Maybe make one.
My first motion.
I'm second to all of them.
All right, I'll make it.
I just saw her become the motion maker.
You do it so well.
It's a new position.
You do it so well.
Motion. Yeah, we're adjourned.
I make a motion.
Do I hit this little red button right here? I'll let you do it. I won't do it.
Can we talk casually?
Yeah, since this is turned on.